The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of Genesis. The child grew and was weaned, and on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had borne to Abraham was mocking. And she said to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. I will make the son of the slave into a nation also because he is your offspring." Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. Then she went off and sat about a bow shot away, for she thought, "I cannot watch a boy die." And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's reading is from Romans. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. We cannot live in it any longer. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized in his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was risen from the dead through the glory of the Father, we may also live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be a slave to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ has risen from the dead, he cannot die again. Death is no longer a mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Here is the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers, and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ears, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
As we entered, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the service. Today we have a testimony. Testimony is getting part of our service, and immediately after our response song, Sophia will come and share her testimony. Now, the topic that we have today is following Jesus, costly but never alone. Last Sunday, our children came forward and beautifully shared the gospel. They explained what is the gospel and what happens when we believe in Jesus. They gave us a wonderful introduction to the Christian faith. I'm so happy that our children are learning the gospel message. I'd like to thank XEE team for faithfully running Hope for Kids for almost 5 months. So last week we talked about Jesus' prayer. Jesus asked his disciples to pray. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest sent his laborers into his harvest field. He asked disciples to pray, and after that he sent them two by two ahead of him. While he was sending these disciples, his disciples, two by two, he gave them instructions. He told them that there are challenges. There are challenges in this work. So he told them the challenges, the difficulties, the problems they would face. So as we continue to meditate on this passage, let's remember that we are all being sent. These disciples were sent by Jesus the same way we are all being sent into this world to work in his harvest field. So we are sent. Since we are sent, we need to be aware of what are the challenges, what are the difficulties it brings forth. Now, Jesus says, these challenges are there, but I am with you. I hold you. There are three things I want to quickly bring for our meditation this morning. Expect opposition and rejection. That's what Jesus tells his disciples. We face opposition. Jesus says, if they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? People accused Jesus and spoke against him. We know Jesus was opposed and they were so cruel to him that they took him on the cross and crucified him. So Jesus faced opposition. We will also face opposition. The disciples did all good works. If you look at the disciples, the apostles, wherever they went, they healed people. They comforted the people who were in need of healing and comfort. They did all good work, but they were opposed. Peter and John healed a lame man at the temple gate. For doing the good work, they were arrested, threatened, and flogged. Opposition is part of our Christian journey. We should not be surprised by it. Jesus has already warned us. Opposition comes and rejection also comes. Jesus says in this passage that even our own family members may reject us. His gospel may bring division. It separates those who believe from those who do not. Following Jesus may create tension even with our own homes and our own communities. So Jesus says in this passage, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. In fact, his message, the gospel, is bringing that division. It is inevitable. The gospel is such that you either follow him or you don't follow him. A clear division takes place when the gospel is presented. In my years of ministry, what I noticed is that the rejection comes more inside than the outside. I remember working in a mission station which was very close to a mission hospital, very long time ago, 1987. My co-worker, S.P. Daniel, and I were the missionaries in that region. The hospital staff and the doctors would not call us missionaries. For them, missionaries means the white people from the West. So they would not recognize as missionaries, they would simply say that we have got two Christian workers coming and working in this region. But what is missionary? Missionary means the one who leaves his local language group, his culture, and goes to another language group or another culture to present the gospel. Simple as that. But we have our own meaning, so they're never recognized as missionaries. This is a simple way of rejection. There are severe ways of rejection. When you do God's work, you will be rejected by your own people sometimes. Remember that. Sometimes the deepest wounds come not from strangers, but from people who should understand and support us. So Jesus warning his disciples, he's warning us. Opposition and rejections are certainly possible in his work, in this Christian journey. The second point that I want to bring is, following Jesus means a new life with no turning back. Our reading from Romans, the second reading, talks about baptism. In baptism, we died with Jesus and we rose with Jesus to new life. Baptism is not merely a religious ceremony. No, it is a sign that our old life is gone and I have entered into the new life with Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, our old is gone, a new life began. We become the children of God. We have received a new heart, new purpose, new direction. Now, we have no way to return back. We are to march forward. One of the reasons God was displeased with Israelites is because they were always looking back. They were always looking back their life in Egypt. Oh, we could have stayed in Egypt. Oh, we had nice meat to eat. We had nice life. Of course, their life was not at all good. But they were always longing for the life back in Egypt. When they crossed the Red Sea was opened for them. When they finished crossing, the Red Sea is closed. That particular option is no more available. You march forward. The old is gone. The new life has come. March forward. In this context, Jesus says in another passage, no one puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. You put your hand on the plow and you have to move forward. You cannot look back and plow. If you do that, you will not plow on the straight line. You cannot put your hand on the plow and look back. No turning back. Move forward. Our Christian journey is a linear journey. Of course, Christian history is a linear history. We don't go back. I'm from India, you know. In India, the Hinduism believe in cyclical. You go back and, you know, it's a cyclical. But our faith is linear. You have no option of looking back. You have to always move forward. Now, we have the option of looking back. The Bible doesn't encourage such people. If somebody looks back, if somebody is going back, his life is like the dog which returns back to its vomit. Very nasty way of saying. So we move forward. We beautifully sing this song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world is behind me. The cross is before me. I march forward. We have entered a new relationship with God. We have been forgiven, adopted into his family, and given the hope of eternal life. Therefore, there is no turning back. There's a famous story of a military commander who landed on enemy territory with his soldiers. After they arrived, he ordered the boats to be destroyed, to be burnt. The soldiers were shocked. But the commander said, Now there is only one way. We move forward and win. We move forward, no turning back. Thirdly, in this passage, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. He says at least three times here, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. He says, I am with you. I hold you. There are two ways to handle fear, fight or flight. You fight or you run away. Flight, fight or flight. But Jesus says, fight, I am with you. Now, in this passage, Jesus brings some examples. We will look at those examples. We are hesitant to go and talk to people out there. We are hesitant to invite people to our church. There could be many reasons why we are hesitant, why we are afraid of talking to people with the gospel. One of the reasons is the mystery of the gospel. The gospel that we preach is a mystery. Not everything is known. There are certain things which is known. There are certain things which are not known. And that's the reason Jesus says in this passage very beautifully, what I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. What Jesus says in this passage is, all that is said now, you do it, you go and say it boldly, loudly, from the housetops. Everything will be revealed at some point, or everything will come to light when he comes back. But at this moment, certain things are still unknown. But go and say to people, go and proclaim the gospel. Go and preach the gospel. Not everything is known. In other words, if I put it this way, Jesus is saying, whatever you say to people, that will be remembered. That will be remembered. Whatever you say to people that may not make sense to them, that may not make sense to you, but it will be uncovered. It will be revealed. You will come to know it. So go and preach the gospel. Nothing is going to be uncovered. Everything will be revealed. Very beautifully, Jesus said. So go. You know, in our church, we say that we have a golden book. Go invite people to come to the church. And we have been doing it very well. And I want to congratulate you. I want to thank you. I might have not invited those many people. But it's now 375, and I think it's growing. Some of us have difficulty go and invite them. So last Sunday, we came up with this idea. Okay, you have a golden paper to carry. You write the names whom you want to invite and pray for them. Pray for them. And once you have the confidence to go and talk, go and talk to them and come and write the golden book. We have been given this big responsibility of preaching the gospel, inviting people to God's fold. Now, Jesus comes up with other two examples very quickly. I will look at it and then we will come to the end. Jesus says, for one penny, there are two sparrows available. It's a discount offer. Buy one, get one free. So for one penny, it is only one sparrow. Because you are buying, So the shopkeeper is very generous and he gives one extra. So when you carry one extra with you, you carry two with you. On the way, one flies away. You are not worried. Because I did not pay for it. Or on the way home, one dies. You are not worried. Because you didn't pay for it. That came free of cost. Jesus says, you may not give value to the one which died or which flew away, but Father cares for that sparrow which you don't give value, which you don't give any kind of importance. If he is mindful of the ones for which you don't give value, how much more value you are, the human beings. So you are more valuable, more important than the sparrow. If he is taking care of the sparrow, why not he takes care of you? Do not fear. In the Old Testament, we have so many expressions. The expression is, God has written you in his palm. The one who touches you touches the eye of his, sorry, in the apple of his eye. If somebody touches you, he touches the apple of his eye. Beautiful. So he takes care of you. Why you are afraid? The other illustration is very interesting. Even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Today we are celebrating Father's Day. Some of our fathers have lost a lot of hair, including me. Even if you have a bald head, you probably cannot count how many hairs are left. I cannot count. Is Jesus sitting and counting our hair? No. That's not what the Bible says. What Bible says is, I don't know how many hairs I have. I don't know who I am. I don't know about me. But he knows more than I do myself. He knows us more than we know ourselves. That's what Jesus is saying. He loves us more than we love ourselves. When he is mindful of my life to this level, why am I afraid? Do not fear is not an advice, is not a suggestion, it's a command. Do not be afraid. Your hairs are numbered. I bring two illustrations and I close. During COVID time, people often spoke the word resilience. Resilience means enduring a difficult situation until it passes. The ability to endure till the dark period is over. It means staying strong and waiting for better days. Resilience. You have the ability to sustain for that dark period. You stay in that dark period with the hope that light will come. So you are thinking about a better future, better hope. And that's true, we came out of COVID. But another author did not like the word resilience. He suggested a word, audacity. Audacity, how do you say it? Audacity. A-U-D-A-C-I-T-Y?
Audacity.
Oh, I'm sorry. Audacity. Audacity. Okay. He says that you use this word. That may be a negative word that shows your pride and that shows you are confident. But use that word because you are not going to go anywhere. The darkness is there. But you, when you remain in the darkness, the stars slowly appear. The light is slowly shown and you move forward. That's the Christian life. Can everything be changed? Can everything be going to be like a bed of roses? Difficulties are ahead. Problems are ahead. But stay. Stars will appear. Light will be shown. Jesus is with us. The final illustration. I know many of us swim. I think all of you swim. If you don't swim, learn. It's not a lesson from the Bible, but I encourage you to learn swimming. In the swimming, the first lesson that it teach you is how to float. How to float. How to float? When you float, if you keep your joints stiffened, and if you keep your muscles tightened, you go inside the water. You don't allow the water to hold you. The water has the capacity to hold you, but because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, you slowly sink. And in swimming, you are almost keep your head immersed in the water. You just look up. If you start looking somewhere down to your feet or somewhere else, you sink. And when you keep your head buried in the water and keep your head up and look up and relax, the water holds you. That's a skill that we have to develop. And in Christian journey, God is holding us. God is with us. Allow him to hold you. Don't go with your stiff muscles and stiff joints. That will not help. Jesus says, do not fear. May God help us to face opposition and rejection courageously. May we follow him without turning back, and may we discover how to allow Jesus to hold us. God bless us all. Amen.
Sorry. good morning, everyone. I want to start with a Bible verse, which is why I'm on my phone. I'm trying to find it. Yeah, suddenly my phone switched to Dutch, so... All right, it's Joel 2, verse 25. And the verse is, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts. And I'm going to ask you guys a question that might require you to be a bit vulnerable. But who here has ever felt lonely or alone? Can you raise your hand? Yeah, almost everyone. And me too. When I was in secondary school, I... for a while didn't have a lot of friends, and that made me feel very lonely. And I also didn't know what I wanted to study, so I was like, why not do the Evangelische Hogeschool, Evangelical High School? And at this school, I feel like God has repaid me for the years the locusts have eaten, which is why I said the first, because at this school, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. This year has been made the biggest change in my life. I've met so many people, so many friends who are going to be my friends for life and who would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them. Like last week, I was in the evening, I called one of them. It was late actually at night, and he still picked up and he wanted to hear my story, and it was so nice. And I just wanted to share my testimony because it's made such a big difference in my life. And also, it has made me realize that so many people go through stuff and have baggage, and you're not alone. Everyone has been through things. And they still all chose God and chose to follow him together at my school. And this is very encouraging. And as some of you guys know, I did a bake sale a while ago to get money for donations for this school, because unfortunately some people can't afford it. But we managed to raise a lot of money, and thanks to you guys, people can do this. And I just want to give a big thanks, because you don't know how much of a change you can make in people's lives, and you've made in people's lives by donating. I just want to say thank you. And if you want to talk to me about this year or ask any questions, you can always come to me after the service. Thank you.